Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. I took a long break, longer than what I anticipated, but that's okay. I am back with new episodes and I cannot wait to share it with you. I am starting a series called Sibling Dynamics, and for the next few episodes, you will hear about people's relationships with their siblings, whether good or bad. So let's dig in. Do you have any siblings? If so, what does your relationship look like? Sibling relationships are unique and varied, and they're shaped by factors like age differences, personalities, and even family dynamics. These relationships can have a huge impact on individuals throughout their entire lives. But there are 8 key aspects and dynamics commonly associated with sibling relationships. Number 1, birth order. That can play a role in shaping sibling dynamics. The firstborn may take on a protective or leadership role, while younger siblings might be more rebellious or competitive. Number 2, shared history. Siblings often share a common upbringing, family tradition, and experiences. This shared history can create a strong bond and understanding between siblings. Number 3, rivalry. Sibling rivalry is a common aspect of these relationships. You can compete for attention, resources, and parental approval, which can sometimes lead to conflicts and tensions. However, healthy competition can also foster personal growth. Number 4, a support system. Siblings can be a source of emotional support and companionship. They may share secrets, confide in each other, and provide comfort during challenging times. Number 5, differences in personalities. That's a good one. Siblings can have different personalities, interests, and values. But while these differences can lead to conflicts, they also contribute to the diversity within a family. Number 6, a lifelong connection. Unlike many other relationships, sibling bonds typically last a lifetime. Even if siblings go through periods of estrangement or disagreement, they often find ways to reconnect later in life. Number 7, parental influence. Parental treatment and favoritism can impact sibling relationships. Perceived inequalities in attention or resources can lead to resentment and strained relations. Number 8, role modeling. Siblings often serve as role models for each other. They may learn from each other's successes and mistakes and shape their own values and behaviors. While sibling relationships can be complex, they contribute significantly to the overall fabric of family life. Nurturing positive relationships involves fostering communication, understanding, and mutual respect. On this Sibling Dynamics episode, I am speaking with Patrice, who is a writer and is based in Toronto. We talked about the only child dynamic. It's a great episode. Check it out. Hi, Patrice.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here. Thank you for agreeing to talk on this podcast about sibling dynamics with a twist, I should say.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So until you messaged me and you said you wanted to be a guest, I was like, I've never thought about the only child dynamic. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, I feel like, you know, I think the only children sometimes get a bit forgotten. Even when I'm on Instagram and I see all of the little joke accounts where they're like, oh, this is what a middle child would do. And this is what an only child would do. And there I am waiting. I'm like, okay, but what about the only children? Right? Who would like to be made fun of equally, please?
So what was your experience like growing up as an only child?
You know, I think it's always one of those weird things where as a person who wouldn't know anything different, it's like, oh, how do you really think of your childhood or your experience as an only child? Because I think the question's always, like, in comparison to what, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I mean, the first thought is, like, pretty fun. You know, it was just me and my parents, and my mom's cousin lived with us as well. And so it's like I always had people around. And, you know, I have, like, my next-door neighbor and friends who lived close to me. So it was always super easy to, you know, find people to hang out with, you'd be out and about, you could go to the park that was behind the house and hang out and have your fun and run back home with your neighbor friends. And then I think too, like, and maybe this is a facet of being an only child, you also get introduced to a lot of things that, you know, you might otherwise not. So a lot of the movies and things I like are, oh yeah, I might not have seen, you know, Jurassic Park or I don't know, what other things do young people in my age group like? Like, Indiana Jones, I don't think I saw it until I was in my 20s, possibly. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, I might not have seen that thing that was popular, but, you know, did you want to hear about this Jimmy Stewart or Paul Newman movie from, like, 1945 that I really fancied? Right? And, like, Turner Classic Movies, you know, and PBS Masterpiece Mystery Theaters were my jam. And so, you know, that's still very much the case. I think it's always interesting seeing that formation of self with that mix between, yes, you know, you got all the things that you liked as a kid, like The Lion King and, you know, all of the other movies and things that your friends were interested in and building connection over things like that. And then also that additional influence, if you will, of, oh yeah, well, these are things that I watched with my parents. And as such, these are also things that I find interesting. Mm. So you feel like that would sum up my childhood.
That's really interesting because I never thought about that aspect, because I feel like it sounds like you were with the grown folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yes, very much so. And I think too, it's like, I wonder if being alone, you also have that space to retreat as well. Mm-hmm. So I was very big into reading from a pretty young age. So it's like, yes, you know, hanging out with the adults as they're basically, you know, parent, friend, everything all in one in your own house. And also just the fact of like, okay, I can just go off and read. There's nobody else that would really be clamoring for my attention or my interaction as well. Mm-hmm. So it feels very much like when you're ready to go and do your own thing, you can do your own thing.
Exactly.
And you don't have to have that like balance of, okay, well, are we all the siblings in agreement that we can all go do something or that I'm allowed to go hang out by myself? So I could just go and, you know, ignore everybody for a few hours and read my books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a plus. Was there any resentment from you to your family about being an only child?
You know, I was trying to remember if as a kid I ever wanted siblings. I think, and you know, maybe other only children felt similarly. There's always that passing moment where you're like, oh, it would have been really cool to have a sibling. Or, you know, for some reason, I always thought it'd be interesting to have an older brother. And I'm not really sure what had inspired that or what that thought process was. But I feel like the only time that really stands out is like, oh, this would be handy, is when I got, I think, an N64 as a kid. And it seemed really fun until you realize, like, oh, this isn't as fun just sitting here playing this by myself. Mm-hmm. The thrill is not there. So that's what I would have, when I was thinking, you know, a sibling here would have been pretty handy. But otherwise, I think there's, like, not to, like, to go earlier in my conversation, that awareness of oh, what would my life be like if I had siblings? And so without really feeling a lack, there wasn't really that desire to fill my space or filling up with another person or another sibling. And I think too, especially now getting older and seeing, you know, so many other family dynamics play out or other people's experiences, you also realize that sometimes you don't necessarily gain, or there's not that guarantee that you'll have someone in your corner or supporting you just because you have siblings.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the only child dynamic or concern as you get older is just kind of like, you know, as all of the pressures of adulthood start cropping up, there's often that sense of like, oh, so this is all on me now. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, anything falls apart, it's you. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really have a backup. There's no other sibling to go to, whether it's just like, oh my God, you know, here's what our parents are saying this time, or, you know, here's this other weird happening. You don't have that other person who understands your family and your life in that very specific way. So I feel like that would have been really handy. Mm-hmm. But now I see other people too, and it's just like, oh, sometimes you actually get more strife from your siblings than from anyone else.
Yeah.
And so that's also an interesting aspect too of like, you know, that almost grass is greener sense of wanting to have that extra person to back you up or add that support, while also realizing that, you know, having siblings wouldn't necessarily guarantee that for me either. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it all balances out, or, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, you know what? I think I'm okay with this whole only child life all in.
Mm-hmm. And you made a good point, because I think people always assume that because you have siblings, you guys are super close, that that's the way it is mm-hmm. for every single person on earth, right?
Yeah.
And it's not. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yes. And I think that's such a good point, because, you know, even as you look at, I don't know, navigating the world in general or friends, we're all, I mean, it feels so cliche to say this, but everybody is unique. Mm-hmm. And just because you happen to have the similar DNA structure, it does not mean that all of a sudden that uniqueness disappears and, oh, yeah, we're going to be perfectly aligned with our thought processes and the things we're interested in, and we'll be able to get along perfectly just because we're related. And I feel for people who have dynamics in their families or siblings where they don't have that, because I think with so much of the media and the portrayal of family and family dynamics and what family is supposed to look like, I think it can be really hard for people when your personal experience does not reflect that. And I think more and more, you know, as we see therapy and, you know, real versus Instagram life being portrayed or advocated for more often, I think we're starting to see more portrayals of the different ways that family can exist. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that's helpful for people overall, because I think sometimes you do need that idea of, hey, it's not always going to be perfect. And no, you don't have to have your siblings as best friends, and other people have also experienced life similar to what you have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are some funny misconceptions that you've heard about being an only child?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I feel like the number one is that we're spoiled. or that we're odd. And I'm not sure if this is just me projecting or if this is a real misconception, but I feel like there's often that thought of like, oh, you're an only child. Huh. Or worse, when you get, oh, that checks out. And I feel like you just want to be like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
But the thing is, I feel like, I don't know why people would think that it's odd. Like, it's common. So, okay, you're an only child. And what?
Right. Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, man. But
yeah.
As a kid, did you feel, mm-hmm. did you feel any pressure to be perfect all the time?
You know, I was thinking about that question, and I felt like the idea that I kept coming to is that sense of, I think especially maybe around like elementary school or teenagerhood, or adolescence, I guess would be the appropriate term. I think, you know, the more you get your awareness of like where you are currently and your own aspirations, there's that sense of striving or wanting more. But I think it's really hard in retrospect to kind of tease apart, like, you know, any anxieties or desires for perfection, like how much of that comes from parents and parents' desires for you, and how much of that is your own internal ambition or, you know, concerns about measuring up, whether to your friends or classmates, to your idealized sense of self, or, you know, whatever milestones, you know, the outside world says we should be hitting at any given time. I think I was generally pretty fortunate in that, you know, I was allowed to kind of explore with a lot of things, or, you know, be like, oh, I want to learn guitar, for example, or, you know, I want to play tennis, I want to take tennis lessons, and was kind of given the realm in a lot of ways to, you know, explore things for the fun of it without being expected to be like, okay, well, if you want to learn tennis, you know, you're going to be the next Serena Williams, you know, that there's room there to do something just because you enjoy it. And I think also too, that balance between, okay, an understanding of what I was good at and what I wasn't good at, which I appreciated, because I was always that kid who, you know, was a lot better in the English side of things or the humanities or social sciences, and math was definitely not my strong point. And I think too, like, you know, just as I got older and, you know, career paths changed, I felt like there was more of an understanding of like, oh yeah, you know, this kid can make her way in a different path or a different career prospect based on, you know, the degree or the side of schooling that I'd chosen. Mm-hmm. And I think looking back, it's just also so wild to think about, you know, the significant leaps and bounds in the world since probably when we were graduating from school, mm-hmm. and how much like careers and opportunities have changed. I think back then there were a limited number of paths that you could really go down, right? And I guess a lot of that is also just parents not really knowing what the options are, mm-hmm. and that desire to be like, okay, no, maybe you should take an economics class because maybe you can, you know, apply for business or something. And then realizing like, okay, yeah, you know what? Clearly that is not your lane. That is not the path for you. yeah, you just get through with your little humanities and your social sciences because a business major you are not going to be.
But you know what? I think it's really interesting because the reason I asked that question is because I think that's one of the advantages of being an only child, from what it sounds like anyway. Because I feel like when you have siblings, there's a lot of pressure on the older sibling to be perfect. So, you know, the other siblings can look up to that sibling. You know, whatever you're doing, school, you know, you have to be ambitious. And when you're the last kid, there is pressure because now it's like, oh, look what your older sibling did. What are you doing, you know? So I think there's pressure on both, but with different aspects. Pressure to be perfect anyways.
Yes. I think that's a really interesting way of looking at it too, because, you know, even as I was joking with you earlier about, you know, how Instagram memes always have like the breakdown of, you know, the oldest child struggle, especially if it's like a female identifying only child, sorry, oldest child or eldest daughter, and their experiences versus a middle child or a younger sibling. I think as an only child, it's that weird mix of an ability to kind of identify with almost all of those different sibling dynamics or, you know, places in the family structure. Because as an only child, there is a certain level of identifying with that eldest child of, you know, you are the only one. There's a certain level of, you know, even if you don't have to be independent, Because again, you're not really competing for attention with anybody else.
Yeah.
But the fact that you are also generally given a certain level of free rein and that ability to kind of figure it out of, okay, well, based on what I've seen or learned thus far, I know that I can do X, Y, Z, and it'll be fine. And that desire for control to some extent. So I guess, you know, the other misconception or stereotype about only children is that we're bossy. And I think similar to an eldest child,
yes.
There's that certain level of, because it's only you and your schedule and your parents' schedule, mm-hmm. there's a certain level of, I guess you do have more ability to control yourself and control the things that you want to do or not do. And so I think too, there's currently like similar to an eldest child, that desire to be like, actually, how about we do it this way?
Yeah.
And I actually don't want to do that. And then, you know, you have like the middle child or the youngest child from what I've seen, that, you know, there's a certain level of freedom or that desire to be like, no, I don't have to think about that. Somebody else has got it covered. And so that really weird, I guess, dynamic of an only child kind of encapsulating so many of those different versions all in one person,
yeah.
for better or for worse, I guess.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel that your friendships are tighter as an only child?
I think so. I mean, there's one of my friends that I often, you know, joke about as referring to as an older sister, and she's actually a fellow only child. And, you know, as I joke about her being only like a bigger sister, is funny because she's literally 2 months to the day older than me. So, you know, I don't know what she could have gained in those extra 2 months. But if ever there was an only child, sorry, an eldest child and a younger child dynamic, I feel like she is the representation of capable, focused. She has plans. And I'm kind of like, when we hang out, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just going to like show up. This is going to be great. So we play that dynamic out. But I think I've also been really lucky in that I was in the same school for a really long time through like elementary school through to high school. So I was able to make a lot of friendships that I still have to this day. So that same friend, like we've literally known each other since grade two. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, that is basically like my entire life that I have known her. And, you know, other friends that I've met through elementary school or high school, I've been able to kind of form like a core group where we've all been able to kind of, you know, grow up together and see each other through so many different life transitions. And I think that whole concept of like, you know, being the only child or that idea of, you know, are only children lonely or do they feel like they're missing out on something? I think for me, I've gotten really comfortable being alone or having my own space or having my own time to, you know, do me, reclaiming my time, as Miss Maxine would say. And so I think when it comes to friendships, I think I appreciate them that much more because for me, it's not so much about, you know, I'm hanging out because I can't be alone or I'm hanging out because I don't want to be by myself. I think it's so much similar to like when people joke about, you know, dating in this day and age of, you know, you're not competing against some other person. You're competing between me and my alone time. And I feel like that's what friendships are, where I'm like, oh no, if I'm hanging out with you, if we're here for years and years at a time, it's because you're my friend and I love you. It's not because I don't want to be alone and so we're hanging out.
Yeah.
I feel like my friendship means so much to me, and you know, I think we all fall into that trap, especially now when there's so much pressure on life, I guess, in general.
Yeah.
To just make time for, you know, existing as a bare minimum, but then also to try to find time to, you know, make new connections, maintain the connections we already have. And I think especially the last few years have really reminded me of the importance of, you know, maintaining time to spend with friends and trying to find opportunities to maintain those connections and reach out to people. And again, it is an uphill battle. I can very much be that person where I'm like, oh, I thought about this person. I hope they felt that warm thought that I'm sending across the city for them. And then, you know, not necessarily remembering to, like, you know, send a text to convey that thought in, you know, in a real format.
Yeah.
So I think that's been really a learning and a lesson for me as well. As much as I appreciate my friendships, maintaining them is also important.
Absolutely. And I think, because going back to, say, like, being alone, I think there's power and confidence when it comes to, like, you know, being comfortable with being alone. And I think sometimes a lot of people don't have that. So when you do have that, I think it's like, yes, you go, girl. Because you're not the person, like, calling somebody, like, to sit beside you just because, you know, you want company. No, not necessarily. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. And you're okay with that, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, I could still be like, you know what, give me a book and you can ignore me for a little while. I'll be here in this corner. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll talk to you after chapter 5.
Exactly. Unless it's really good, then maybe wait till this book is done. Thanks so much.
Exactly. So what's your advice for parents who are one and done?
Oh, wow. I mean, good for you. Your children will probably be fine. I think the first thought that came to my mind when I was, like, thinking about this question is, you know, I think regardless of whether people choose to have one kid or you have multiple, I think similar to the earlier question about siblings or feeling resentful of being alone, is this idea that, like, each person is different. So whether you only have one child or if you have multiple children, each kid is going to have kind of, like, their own personality. Mm-hmm. And I think so much of it is about learning, I think, you know, to be adaptable to what that particular person needs or wants versus what you think they should need or want. And I feel like I was having this conversation with friends actually the other day, and I can't even remember what had led to this. Maybe we were talking about, like, gift giving or something like that. And that idea of, like, oh, you know, just because you might want to receive love in this particular way, you know, if we use kind of gift giving as an example, if you feel loved when people give you gifts, cool, doesn't necessarily mean that the person that you're giving gifts to also feels loved that way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting when you think about, like, kids as well, or really any relationship, is that idea of, like, oh, just because, you know, you think that this is how a person would want to be loved or appreciated doesn't mean that that's necessarily what your kid needs or wants. And I think, you know, in the last, let's say, 5 years to a decade, just from the proliferation I see on the internet all the time now about talking about therapy and parenting and the shifts in approaching parenting, or the concept of, like, gentle parenting and what that entails, I feel like more and more there's this understanding of, you know, the things that you say to children matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, children have feelings and needs and wants too, and it's important to, you know, yes, obviously give structure and guidelines, but also to see them as people, you know, with feelings and with needs, rather than this, you know, attachment to you. you know, like, they also have things that they want, and kind of reflecting on that as, okay, cool, how do I interact with this other person, this other potential adult, mm-hmm. or future adult, I guess.
Yeah.
That'd be my only thought right now.
No, that's, it's so true, and I think, and I know I keep saying this, and I don't know where I read this. It must have been something on Instagram, like a therapist or something.
That's where I get all my information these days.
Right? Instagram. But the therapist was saying that, you know, there could be three siblings who grew up in the same house, same parents, mm-hmm. three different experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, the oldest had, she had the younger parents, and maybe it was a different environment. And then the last kid, the parents were older, and maybe, like, you know, maybe they changed cities. Like, it's very different, but you guys are related and you have the same parents. So you're not going to be the same people, basically.
Yes. Yes. And I, as you're saying and I'm like, maybe we stumbled on the exact same Instagram post. because I remember reading something similar as well, where it's just kind of like, yeah, or maybe they were just starting out or earlier in their career, so they might not have had the ability to give you as much time or resources. Mm-hmm. And then maybe by the time the second kid comes around, it's like, oh, you know, you're more established. Maybe you have a bit more money to go around. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, I can now pay more attention to you. And you can now sign up for all of those classes, whereas the first kid might be like, hey, how come I never got to do this thing or this thing? And I would imagine, too, that, you know, as you parent more, maybe you also just start to feel more comfortable in the decisions that you make or don't make and realize, like, okay, the first kid was fine. We're probably, yes, you can now go out with your friends and you can now do this thing. And you might get clearer on your values, your decision-making processes. And I would imagine that all of that also impacts how you would parent each kid.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Patrice, this was great. Thank you for being a guest. This was a great conversation.
You're so welcome. I hope I got to shed some interesting light on the only child world.
Absolutely. That was such a great conversation I had with Patrice. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.